Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now, I am not reintroducing the idea of purgatory. But on the other hand, I do believe the baby was thrown out with the bathwater. With that came a belief, when you die, you're instantaneously and magically made perfect.
The soul of someone who dies immediately goes into eternity. There is no place where you make up for your sins. There is no purgatory. In the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I hope that we could come here and reason together. And as a reasonable man, I'm willing to do whatever's necessary to find a peaceful solution to these problems.
Me too. This is Wretched Radio. What is the problem? Well, there's a difference of opinion when it comes to Ray Comfort. I mean, the Ten Commandments in Texas and Oklahoma. There is now legislation that insists, mandated by the government, that every public school posts the two tablets of the law. And that is precisely why some of us, perhaps the minority in evangelical Christianity, let's just say aren't nuts about putting up our religious documents on public school walls. It's not that I don't believe in the Ten Commandments. Of course I do. But it's that there are two tables. One horizontal, one vertical. I got no problem with the horizontal stuff. If you want to come up with a list of rules that you think are important for kids, like don't murder each other, don't steal stuff, that's fine. But when they are put in a religious context and when they're accompanied by vertical laws that you should honor God first, that you should love him the most, you should worship him a certain way, you need to use his name rightly, I think that those are laws that while they certainly can help somebody reveal, understand that they've sinned against God, I don't want to mandate those laws unto people. That's what the Pharisees did. I know the Pharisee card gets slapped on all the time. And if you happen to be on the other side, I'm not calling you a Pharisee. I'm just saying that was a Pharisaical thing to do. Make people act Jewish. Believe it, they don't care. Just be a good Jew externally. That's why Jesus pointed out, hey, the outside of your cup looks swell. Inside, dead man's bones. Jesus wanted heart worship. Jesus wanted us to love God from the inside, which manifests itself on the outside. Pharisaism says, let's not worry so much about the inside. We just want the outside conformity and we're happy. But as a Christian, I don't want that for people. And I don't want to be imposing my beliefs on people who don't believe them. Are they the laws of God? Absolutely. Is it appropriate to put it in a government classroom? I fall on the side of, I don't think somebody's a heretic if they do. But I fall on the side of, I don't think that it's going to do what people desire it to do. Furthermore, when they argue that we should put up the Ten Commandments because it's a part of our American history, it's a cultural thing that we did for so long, let's just put it up there. It's like, no, that's not what the Ten Commandments are. They aren't a cultural thing. They're the laws of God. And we don't argue for them just because they're a historical artifact. They're a part of the American consciousness, or at least used to be. We define the Ten Commandments as being moral laws written by God's finger. Having said all of that, there are other people who would disagree. Now, I, like the Godfather, am a reasonable man. And in order to bring about a peaceful solution, we will let somebody else who falls on the other side make his case for posting the Ten Commandments in government classrooms. So if you will, my sparring partner is none other than Glenn Beck.
This is really, really important. The commandments were in, you know, in our education system for 150 years. Our textbooks, it was hanging in many classroom walls. You know, it's what the Supreme Court justices look at when they are sitting at the bench adjudicating. They look, and right in front of them is Moses with the Ten Commandments.
And when we all affirmed that those were the laws of Moses, I'm thrilled to pieces to have them placed up because we as a society are affirming those are our beliefs. the commandments aren't just to be obeyed. They're to be believed in. Not like we believe in God, of course, but we are to affirm that they are more than some sort of historical artifact or morality that we've invented as a society. They are religious documents, those two tables. And if a group of people get together and say, we wholeheartedly agree, they should be posted, I join you in saying, amen, love to see them every day, but that's not where we are in America anymore. There was a consensus once upon a time, although there were dissenters even then. There was a consensus, yes, those are the things on which our society is built. People don't believe that anymore.
Why? The Ten Commandments are critical for a free society. Why?
Oh, here he goes on that God stuff.
No, I'm anxious to hear this. The Ten Commandments are imperative for a free society. I'm willing to let him make his case.
Hear me out. Commandment number one, you'll have no other gods before me.
Oh, see, there's the God stuff.
No. This doesn't have to be about theological differences.
Theological differences. We're invoking God. And furthermore, those commandments don't point to a God. They point to the true and living God. Hold on, Glenn.
Okay. This is a warning against idolatry in all of its forms. When we make the state or money or race or creed or technology, anything, the ultimate authority, we create a God that will consume us. Okay.
Okay. There can be idolatry, of course. We set up something as a higher authority, but that's to ignore that this is a commandment about God, that he is to be first, that he is foremost, that he is chief. God, Yahweh, Jehovah, Elohim. He is the one that is the focus of the first commandment, not the false idols. The true and living God.
Commandment teaches us that the truth comes from something much, much higher. It's the beginning of limits on power.
Well, it does do that because God is the supreme power. He is the unmoved mover. He is the fixed point. He's the North Star. Without him, everything is flotsam and jetsam. We do need that, but that's not the point of the commandment. That's an effect of not obeying the commandment, but the point of the commandment is what? To believe in the true and living God. Now, I want everybody to believe in the true and living God. Do I want to post that in a matter where that's assumed, or what I hear Glenn doing explained away? That's what it seems he's doing. He's trying to minimize the God part.
Limits on government, because they are not a God. I want to show you how
how did the Ten Commandments suddenly become such a political document?
Ten Commandments alone can restore our republic.
Okay.
You just have to know how to read them without just focusing on the religious aspect of it.
Without just, no, exclusively. I think that's what God had in mind when he wrote them. If the original audience had heard this, they would have said, who is this? And why are so many evangelicals listening to a Mormon anyway? This is completely reframing what the Ten Commandments are.
So no God before me, no king, no mob, no party, no job, nothing. Nothing.
Okay. All right. He's putting everything into a political context for the most part. And his point is actually, well, kind of a mess. It's correct. Nothing comes before God. Worship him first. Anything that you put in the centerpiece of your emotions and affections is an idol. I get that. But the command is that he comes first. He. Adonai. Elohim, Jehovah Jireh, the God of the Bible comes first. That's the import of the commandment.
You shall not make yourself a carved image. Okay. I haven't made a graven image in a very, The very last, in fact, maybe ever. I don't think I've made, I've always.
This is a rhetorical trick to distract you from what it's clearly stating.
Skated past number two because I'm like, got that one down. You know?
Actually, you don't, Glenn. If anybody's guilty of worshiping a graven image, it's a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But I digress.
Hey, Lord, you say what you want, but I never made a graven image.
yeah, you do when you have an idol or when you fashion God to suit yourself. That is making a graven image in the mind. It doesn't have to be carving out a calf.
This is actually when people begin to serve images instead of truth.
No, instead of God.
Because tyranny always follows. This frees your mind. It's a call to seek truth, not manipulation.
Okay. You could try to make the case that that's an application, but that's not the principle. This is that God is understood and believed in rightly. That's the oomph of the commandment. And so I'm trying to be a reasonable man, but this, quite honestly, is taking a worldview that centers on America and imposing it on the Ten Commandments to justifying its placement of it in government schools. But I'm a reasonable man, so we'll let Glenn continue to try to make his case next on Wretched Radio.
For 25 years, we've watched Christianity's place in America change dramatically.
This is Wretched Radio.
But one thing hasn't changed: our commitment to proclaiming God's truth without compromise. A quarter century of preaching the gospel, equipping others to preach the gospel, and strengthening the local church. 25 years of equipping pastors. 25 years of helping Christians navigate an ever-changing world with biblical wisdom. From our early days to our current home at Fortis Institute, we've had one mission: equipping believers to stand firm in their faith. Today, we're creating more content than ever before. Hundreds of hours of audio and video resources, daily biblical teaching and tools to help you thrive. Thank you for standing firm with us for a quarter century. Together, we've built something extraordinary for the kingdom of God. Visit FortisInstitute.org and join us as we continue this vital work. 25 years of together, faithfully serving our King. And we're just getting started.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.
Do you want to do more evangelism, but you don't know quite where to start? Well, you could wait for the perfect moment. You could go to another seminar, or here's a crazy thought, you could actually go do it. Now through September, college campuses across America are going to be the front lines of gospel outreach, and you can be a part of it. You're in Play the Man. It's Todd Friel's short biblical resource that helps young men fight pornography God's way. The host of Wretched Radio and TV has created something extremely special. This is a gospel-centered book that's not dancing around the issues. And this isn't the latest tips and tricks from self-help gurus either. This is soul-saving truth that's been working for, 2,000 years? Show them what biblical masculinity really looks like. Play the Man is a resource that's going to do exactly that. It's going to point men to Jesus Christ. You can order free cards right now. Yes, I said free, at fortisinstitute.org/playtheman. This fall, your campus becomes your mission field. Is your marriage at a bit of a breaking point? The person you said vows to and promised to spend forever with, do they now feel like a stranger? The love and trust between you, has that been now replaced with bitterness and betrayal and even silence? Well, know that you're not alone. Marriages everywhere are falling apart. Introducing Transformed Season 4. Six brave couples opened their hearts as Dr. Lou Priolo guided them through infidelity and resentment, communication breakdowns, using biblical counseling that actually works. 13 honest, powerful episodes that show you exactly how God's Word changes everything. One new episode drops every week, and it's completely free at FortisPlus.org. Plus, you can get the free study guide and apply these life-changing principles to your own relationship. Whether your marriage needs healing or you just want to grow stronger together, this series, Transform Season 4, is for you. Streaming now at FortisPlus.org.
Know your reformers. William Tyndale provided the first complete translation of the New Testament into English in 1526. While he was in prison for the crime of translating the Bible, he continued to translate the Old Testament until he was strangled and burned at the stake in 1536. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I feel like the jerk. Well, not a jerk. Sometimes I feel like a jerk. I feel like the jerk, as in Steve Martin. This is Wretched Radio. Thanks for the really current movie references, Todd. The Godfather and the jerk. He invented an eyeglass thing where it didn't slide down your nose, but it ended up causing your eyes to be crossed because your eyes would always stare at the little doohickey that the jerk made and became rich from. I feel like that, but just the opposite. Because right now my eyes have been crossed because of Glenn Beck, and I need something to pull them apart. Jimmy, are you tracking with Glenn Beck's argument as to why it's important for the Ten Commandments to be placed in government schools?
Absolutely not.
This monologue, it's 14 minutes long. We'll never get through the whole deal. And all of God's people said,
amen,
whew, to that. Could only be written if you dismiss the purpose of the commandments. It is to reveal how God thinks. It is to reveal how we are to live. And the first table makes it clear. We are to worship him primarily and exclusively and rightly and speak of him and use our lives rightly. These are vertical commandments. And this is why some of us, maybe not many of us, think it's not the best idea to put the Ten Commandments up on government school walls. And Glenn is trying to make that case and persuade his followers. And there's a lot of evangelicals who listen to Glenn. And if you listen to it without having the Ten Commandments grounded in what they actually are, well, then I guess this kind of makes sense that you use the commandments to turn it into some sort of a diatribe for conservative American values, I guess. But other with when you understand that the Ten Commandments are God's moral laws, and the first commandments focus on him so that we believe in him, well, then this thing is just a total fiction. If you recall Glenn Beck, he's still on not making a graven image. See if you've ever heard this interpretation before.
All right. We are full of images in the media, manufactured images, and its relevance with AI, which is now creating images that will be your partner, your lover, your friend. Don't create those images.
I don't think the second commandment had something to do with art or the internet. This is just so far-fetched.
Now that is more urgent than ever, because if you bond with that, now you've made that technology your God. So now you've got the graven image thing and God.
Again, that might be an application. That might be a fruit of failing to acknowledge that commandment and obey it. But that's not the import of the commandment. You heard him in the beginning. Well, just take the whole God thing out of it. Well, you can't. That's like taking the whale out of Moby Dick. It just, well, you see, this is about wind currents and the importance of having a good sailing mass in order to reach your destination. What about the whale? Well, we're not going to focus on the whale. We're going to talk about sailing instructions so that we can all be better sailors. I think you missed the point.
You shall not take the Lord of the name, the Lord thy God in vain. This is not just about cursing.
Agreed. It is about saying you're a representative of God, but not living up to that confession. You can live blasphemously, not just use his name coarsely. I agree. Let's see what he means.
This is about the misuse of moral authority. And I learned that we have now American Journey Experience. We have the largest collection of Jamestown.
Wait. What did he say? We learned this is about moral authority?
It's about a misuse of moral authority.
Okay. This is not just about cursing. This is about the misuse of moral authority. And
taking God's name in vain is about a misuse of moral authority.
Learn that. Okay. We have now American Journey Teach Experience. Me. We have the largest collection of Jamestown and Pilgrim documents and artifacts in the world. And one of the things that the Pilgrims printed right before the king went and tried to get him.
By the way, trying to make your case about theology and the Bible, and in this instance, the commandments, based on a historical event, not solid ground.
Was a little pamphlet almost, and it was going to their church in Perth, England. And they printed it and said, don't do these things. They're not in the Bible. But their testimony is on the front page. And I didn't understand this at first. All it said was, you shall not take the Lord thy God's name in vain. I'm like, okay, they got, all right, I know that. So they're not swearing in the pamphlet. What does that mean? No, it means we will not misuse our moral authority.
Okay. There's a big market for Glenn. That is as academic as, well, a toddler.
You will not invoke God or any higher cause for wicked ends. They're saying, we know we are speaking on behalf of God. We know the punishment for that.
He knows that that's what they were thinking, does he?
So we are telling you the truth. That is, I mean, that's an amazing thing. If you could live that one so much where your testimony is, I know the commandment not to take the Lord God's name in vain. Number four.
Jimmy, how many subs does Glenn Beck have? And how many people pay him every month?
I have no
to idea. Listen to this?
A lot.
This is a booyah with flies in it. That was redundant, Todd. All booyahs have flies in them.
Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Well, I don't want it. What is that? What is that for?
Okay. So that impression, apparently, it would be to mock the people who go, that's about taking a day off to worship God, to rest in God. And what is he doing? He's kind of... He might be aiming that at a guy like me, too. For
Western society, what does that mean?
No. What does it mean? What does it mean? You apply it to Western society, but you don't say this is the application in Western society. You've skipped the most crucial step. What does it say?
Work 7 days. Now, where would the progressive movement be if they couldn't stop child labor? Well, not in pot farms, but if they couldn't stop child labor under Teddy Roosevelt. Do you think we would have do they have 7 day work weeks, or do they have weekends off, you know, in China? When slaves were around, did they have weekends off?
Actually, if you would read Deuteronomy, I think 10, maybe 20, but it's also in Exodus, the slaves did get a day off. That's in the Bible, Glenn. Like,
hey, you can whip me, but not on a Saturday or a Sunday because I'm not working today. No, this is something radical. Dignity for workers, the right to rest, the rhythm of renewal. In a world that never sleeps, we forget the human soul needs time, unmonetized.
By the way, Glenn is reading most of this. He's ad-libbing here and there, which actually makes it devolve even further. Somebody wrote this for him. And I'm sorry, I'm kind of embarrassed for him.
Unplugged. Rest one day. Do you see, are you beginning to see how these are
no.
The reason why we have lost our way as a society is because we've forgotten the Ten Commandments? And
No. What it means is we aren't submitting to God, and God doesn't bless disobedience. He blesses righteousness and those who love to do his will.
Really doesn't. I've said this for years. If Moses would have come down and said, these are the Ten Commandments and God commanding,
he actually did
get what we get.
When you go into an amoral society and nobody cares about God, everybody forgets it. But if we would just repackage it as Moe's top 10 tips and we put it into a slick Instagram thing and Moe was there going, hey, I got something cool to tell you about. Everybody would live it.
I don't know what he's talking about. Am I a reasonable man? Yes, I am. But to me, this is frankly, hey, trust me. I've done some things on radio where it's like, oh, well, that probably wasn't the best, but wow, this was not persuasive. Where does that leave us? If you disagree, I welcome your disagreement so that we can have peace. Send it to idea@wretched.org. Hopefully you can do better than Glenn, because based on what I just heard, you can do better than Glenn. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. The abortion industry is crumbling before our very eyes, and the latest casualties tell quite a story. Planned Parenthood just shut 5 more locations in Northern California thanks to President Trump's Big Beautiful Bill, with the abortion giant laying off over 60 staffers. Even bigger news from Texas, where Planned Parenthood announced it is closing the notorious Houston Prevention Park facility, one of the largest abortion centers in the Western Hemisphere. This 78,000 square foot monument to death gained infamy in 2015 when undercover footage revealed officials discussing harvesting intact baby organs for experimentation. And even more Planned Parenthood news. In Nevada, Planned Parenthood just conceded defeat in federal court over a parental notification law that's been on the books since 1985 but never enforced. The abortion giant filed to dismiss its own lawsuit after the judge ruled the law could take effect. Nevada Right to Life celebrated the landmark monument for parents and children, though Planned Parenthood is desperately trying a new state-level challenge. Here's encouraging news that might surprise you. The American public is becoming increasingly pro-life, despite the relentless media propaganda. A new Associated Press poll shows the percentage supporting abortion restrictions in most or all circumstances jumped 7 percentage points, reaching the highest level since the Dobbs leak in May 2022. And that reality has Democrats scrambling to reframe the abortion debate, leading to some truly heretical nonsense. A California congressman is now pushing the absurd claim that Christianity actually supports abortion. And a Texas state representative told Joe Rogan that the Bible permits abortion because Adam received life when God breathed into him, supposedly proving life begins at first breath. The theological illiteracy is just astounding. Speaking of crises, America's fertility rate just hit a record low of 1.599 children per woman, well below the 2.1 needed for population replacement. We've aborted 19% of our population since Roe, and that doesn't include their children and grandchildren who will never exist. And finally, some federal housekeeping as a judge dismissed lawsuits trying to stop Trump's dismantling of USAID, which of course is the agency that funneled millions to international abortion programs, among other ways. But we're talking all about abortion today. But the judge ruled that the court lacked jurisdiction to prevent the executive branch from reorganizing USAID under Marco Rubio's State Department. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. Amos was a shepherd called to prophesy during a time of prosperity in Israel and Judah. But this prosperity was accompanied by idolatry, extravagance, and corruption. When you consider the society you live in, Amos declares that God judges societies by his standard of righteousness. He hates all corruption and injustice. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
To quote my mother, He was talking like a sausage. This is Wretched Radio. I don't know why my mother used that expression, but when one of us boys said something kind of noodly, we would hear, "You're talking like a sausage," which indicated we weren't thinking very well. I just heard a lot of sausage talk. I just heard a lot of, no, almost everything that Glenn Beck just said. Okay, that was 14. We listened to 7 minutes of that. It was almost all wrong, all of it. And he's speaking on Bible things. And what came out, if he's speaking that way about politics and history and philosophy and worldview, zoinks, scoob. Jimmy, which side of this argument do you fall on?
Well, I don't think they should be posted.
Like a heretic, liberal. What are you, well, like Russell Moore too? You probably read David French time he publishes.
Okay, so here's my question. There's still a separation of church and state, right?
Yeah.
So they're still preventing schools from and teachers from talking about religion. So if that's the case, what's the purpose of posting the law without the gospel?
Oh, that's, you know what? That's a, now see that last part, Jimmy, that is an awesome point. Did you write, you came up with that?
Well, I mean, it just makes sense.
It does. Hey, kids, here's a bunch of stuff you can't do that you fail at in thought, word, and deed. Dismissed. Somebody clean the erasers. No, you should. The law is intended to point to the gospel. Mm-hmm. So all we're doing is posting moralisms totally out of context, no explanation. And most of the people who do explain it will do it wrongly. If you disagree with Jimmy, please send it to idea@wretched.org. Now let's span the globe.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
Well, sort of spanning the globe. Hey, we got to tie this mess together somehow. I got a slew of stories that I think are important for us to ponder, but they really don't fit together in any harmonious way except to take a dated theme song, play it, and then pretend that the theme is Wide World of Christian Stories. And like any good Caleb disc jockey, we'll try to slap a Bible verse on it. Maybe. Story number one from Canada. They're announcing a new trend. People are getting divorced and setting up gift registries. Oh, that seems, well, it's actually on the face of it, not horrible. In that, when somebody gets divorced, they're missing half their stuff. They need a new blender. People come alongside and give it to them. I say to that, thumbs up. But to do it on a gift registry, it's to imply what happened is a good thing. That's what a gift is for. It's celebrating. You do a wedding registry because it's like, well, here's a big day. We're so glad for you. And so to have a divorce registry, in my opinion, which is always right because I'm a talk show host, it diminishes what divorce is. It ain't no big whoop. It's just an economic thing that took place and you need more stuff. Divorce is awful. Jimmy, do we have that divorce? Well, this is providential right here. This was making its way around the internet sphere. I don't know how social media works, but this caught a lot of people's attention. And it reminds us, I don't care what we say about divorce, even when it's a biblical divorce, because sin is involved, they're terrible.
This is a poem I wrote about being a child of divorce. It's called One Gift. You're lucky, they say. Two Christmases, two birthdays, two roles to play. Double the presents, double the gifts, double the families to exist. And although it's true, they love me, they do. They don't love each other. Now my dad is just the father of her children and her the mother. There may be two Christmas celebrations, two birthday parties, but there's never enough of me, enough time in one day. And then I get the text from my dad saying, hey, what do you want for your birthday this year? And cash is what I say. Now, I can't tell them what I actually want. That wouldn't be fair to say that I want both of my parents to be there. So when my mother asks what I want next year, cash is what I'll say, because what I really want is something they don't want to hear. Thank you.
Let's not do anything that celebrates that. Off to, oh boy, we're going to CNN. Jimmy, where's CNN located? I don't know what state this is in, but they're talking about the marijuana, specifically California. There we go. There's our destination. What a shocker. Marijuana use dramatically increases risk of dying from heart attacks and stroke. It's a huge study based on 200 million people. Wow. The pot industry is booming. We rented a car recently. I don't recall exactly. Maybe it was Greenville.
Did you hit a deer with it?
No, I did not hit a deer. I would hit a deer. Kind of a foolish driveway, possibly, and then fall downstairs. We rented a car. My nose is kafritz since the COVID. Thanks a lot, Jason Lyle. The nicotine gum did not help. We get in the car, and Mrs. Friel immediately goes, pot smoker. I'm like, are you sure it's not just like the fabric? It's a pretty new car, or maybe it's just that smell.
Very distinct.
Apparently, because so then we pick up a couple. They get in the car and they're like, what are you two been up to in here? Well, cherry licorice, Diet Mountain Dew, our travel food of choice while we listen to Milton Vincent or Phil Johnson. No, it smells like a bong went off in here. I can't smell a thing, but it appears to be everywhere. We'll be walking and she'll be like, oh, they're smoking pot in that car. Really? I mean, if there were like smoke and they're all just sitting in there sucking in the fumes, that I could get because I was using my eyes. My nose totally kafritz. Mrs. Friel smells it everywhere. And we're in Georgia where it isn't yet legal. Those who use cannabis also had a 29% higher risk for heart attacks and a 20% higher risk for stroke. Not to mention all of the other reports. People ain't getting smarter from the pot. We used to know that, didn't we? We used to intuitively see people who are smoking a lot of pot. Hello, Cheech and Chong. They made a living smoking pot. They become stoners, druggies, potheads. We used to know that. According to this particular article, what's being sold to people today in California is 5 to 10 times stronger than what it was in the 70s. Concentrates can be 99% pure THC. That's like drinking 200 proof alcohol. It's like as strong as you can get it. That stuff is BAD. And this is another demonstration that we are, I'm telling you, the pot thing. I know we look at all the sexuality stuff and we go, there's Romans 1. I say the government endorsing and legalizing marijuana is Romans 1. You devolve. You want to do more sinning. And then what do you want? Hearty approval. The government has given hearty approval to marijuana, and all it does is hurt people. Let's go to Puerto Rico. Oh, this is a good story. Puerto Rico bans sex change procedures for minors. That's all I got. Just a good story right there. Which states, next article from the Christian Post, are the best and worst at protecting religious liberty? Would you like to know if you're in the top seven? Here you go. By the way, religious liberty would be things like freedom of religion, non-participation in weddings, absentee voting for religious reasons, a number of things that make you a good state or not. I think in reverse order, South Carolina is a great state. I get to be in South Carolina at Carl Brogy's church, I believe is Community Bible Church. Is that Jimmy? Look up Carl Brogy's church. For some reason, I confuse him and Milton Vincent's church all the time. They're both great preachers. And it's an amazing church. And I get to be there in September, looking forward to that a whole lot. And it's lovely in the lowlands there. Oh, man. Right on the ocean. It's just a beautiful place. South Carolina, what do you got?
Community Bible Church.
That's what I said.
I know.
Why did you interrupt me? Number six. Arkansas. Number five, Mississippi. Four, Ohio. Number three, Illinois, which, by the way, Illinois was number one last year, but it's plummeting. It appears all that their religious liberty that they were granting their citizens is being stripped away. I don't know what's going on in the land of Lincoln, but there, it ain't growing red. Let's just put it that way. Montana was number two, and the number one state, Florida. This... I was like William Shatner in Miss Congeniality. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Picture this. Every morning, countless Christians are waking up and wondering how they're going to navigate today's increasingly complex and upside-down world. And that's where Fortis Institute comes in. Not just another ministry, but your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. I mean, you've probably noticed that we're different from our daily podcasts like Integrated with Dr. John Krotz or Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney. We're bringing together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity to help you and your local church thrive. But here's the thing. This mission, well, it takes resources, and that's where you come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry, you're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. So will you join us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, and together we can help Christians stand strong in their faith no matter what challenges tomorrow brings. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Master's University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Master's University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Master's University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
The world says you're broken, a victim of chemical imbalance, just another diagnosis and a long list of mental health labels. But what if they're wrong about you? What if there's a completely different perspective? Dr. Greg Gifford, a Fortis Institute fellow, is challenging everything you've been told about mental health. In our exclusive forum, Psychology versus Scripture, The Truth About Mental Health, Dr. Gifford will reveal why the Bible never describes anxiety, depression, or emotional struggles as diseases, but instead offers a framework of sin, suffering, and sanctification. You're not defined by psychiatric terminology, and there is a path to true transformation that medication alone cannot provide. Join us for an eye-opening Fortis Forum that will help you break free from worldly definitions and find lasting peace in Christ. You can watch this Fortis Forum, available right now for free at FortisPlus.org. That's FortisPlus.org. Your journey to true transformation begins right now. You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect His flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's at FortisInstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at FortisInstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters.
Attributes of God. God is a person. He is not a detached, impersonal force. He is a conscious, self-aware being with a mind and a will. He has made Himself known through Scripture, and most of all, He wants you to know Him personally. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
As Lurch once said, this is Wretched Radio. Not that I should throw a stone from a glass house, but I'm gonna. Jimmy, what is the name of the town where Karl Brogy's church is? and the great radio station WAGP broadcasts.
It's in Beaufort, South Carolina.
Oh, come on. What did you call it?
Beaufort.
Oh, man, Scylla. I butchered it because there's a Beaufort, South Carolina, and a North Carolina, and they put a different accent on a different syllable, and I tend to kind of goof it up, but that doesn't stop me from throwing a rock. Jimmy, get to be in Beaufort, South Carolina, October 12th. I get to preach at a wonderful church. I every time I think of Carl Brogy's church, I always get encouraged because I can't remember, but the county is like 60,000 people, the whole county. It's not a metropolis. It's lovely, the just lovely part of the world. And there's not a lot, there's no skyscrapers. And you pull up to the church. I remember the first time I went, I thought I was going to pull up to, like, you know, just a little red brick church in the middle of South Carolina. No, it is a mega church, but it's sound. So not your typical mega church. It's an exception mega church. It is a massive facility, and I get to be there October 12th. Also, September 4 and 5, Daytona Beach, wjlu.org/conference. I just heard Daryl Harrison has been added to the roster. I don't know what Brandon is doing down there at Cornerstone. You don't need any more people, Brandon. I'm just telling you. He just keeps adding people. Ken Ham is already scheduled to be there. H.B. Charles is going to be there. Tom Askell is going to be there. Some loser, Friel, is going to be there. And I can't even remember all the... And then it's like, oh...
Phil Johnson.
Well, then that's who got added.
Yeah.
And then Virgil Walker got added. And now Daryl Harrison. It's like, enough! There's so many people that are so stellar. It is going to be an awesome 2 days together. So if you're anywhere near Daytona Beach on September 4 or 5, and it's not a super expensive conference. It's going to be, I want to say, the Peabody Auditorium, if I'm not mistaken. Seats about 2,500 people. It looks like it should just be a delightful time. WJLU.org/conference. It's the Cornerstone Conference with a veritable herd. I was going to say cavalcade. No, it's a herd of speakers. WJLU.org/conference. And hey, as long as you're at the internet, don't forget season four of Transform. We're dropping new episodes every week. Episode 4 is dropped this week. Here's the title of it. This might hit home for you when the kids leave. What's left of the marriage? Ooh, that is going to be helpful for a lot of people. Here's the description. After years of drifting apart, Jimmy and Shelley, these are real people, by the way. This is not sensationalized. These are, you would see Jimmy and Shelley. I liked them both. I did. It's like, you're such nice people. And you go to church and everything, you've got a good job and everything is running well. It looks great. And they are totally just drifting apart because the kids had become the centerpiece of the marriage. You pull the kids out, there ain't nothing left. So after years of drifting apart, they're left with silence, resentment, and a marriage on autopilot. With the kids nearly grown, they face the painful question, can their relationship be restored? I can answer that. Or is it too far gone? Biblical counseling helps uncover the roots of their disconnect and shows them a better way forward. You can see that episode. We're just launching one a week. And then please note this. Once we've dropped all 13 episodes, we've got a Sunday school curriculum that goes with it. You might want to consider it for your Sunday school class. It is all marriage counseling led by Dr. Lou Priolo. It is awesome. Let's keep spanning the globe, shall we? Children's National Hospital. That's in Washington, D.C. Yay. Thanks to arm twisting, they're going to stop prescribing puberty blockers and hormones to kids who are confused. The hospital cited escalating legal and regulatory risks as the reason for its decision. Well, I'll be honest with you. I'm not all that concerned about the reason. I'm just glad for the result. that they are stopping this insanity. I get the kids are confused, but adults that affirm it, it drives me bonkers. To the UK we go. Get ready for this mystery. You're going to go, wait, what? But if they did, then why didn't they did that? Yeah, that's exactly what you're going to sound like. Trust me on this. Headline, the UK extends bereavement pay for people who experience a miscarriage before 24 weeks. So they're good. We recognize this is a devastating event for you, and we want to give you more time off while simultaneously legalizing abortion up to the point of birth. Huh. That doesn't seem to be consistent, and that's why right now you're going, but if the thing with the, and then chin the thing with the day. Well, no, it's inconsistent. The deputy prime minister said the change will give people time away from work to grieve. No one who is going through the heartbreak of pregnancy loss should have to go to work before they're ready. Are they going to do that for moles? Because that's all a baby is supposed to be in utero. It's just a blob of tissues. Why don't we have bereavement time for mole removal? And we all know the answer to that question. It's because a mole is a blob of tissues. A baby isn't. The inconsistency. The same government that says this, says that out of the opposite side of their mouths, but don't expect consistency from a world that is untethered and detached from reality. And here's another one. Here's another story. I suspect, I can't speak on behalf of Uber, but I suspect that they're very pro rainbow. They're probably very pro everything that's in the pride spectrum. Headline. Uber to let women drivers and riders request to avoid being paired with men. Hey, I thought there wasn't a difference. I thought we were all the same. And yet reality sometimes confronts really bad worldviews. It allows women passengers to only want women drivers. And then simultaneously, the woman driver only has to pick up women. And Uber is okay with that. And of course, I am too, because, well, I'm not detached from reality, but they're just revealing the inconsistency of their worldview. Same thing with the whole trans issue. It's just, it's so nonsensical. On the one hand, gender means nothing. On the other hand, I insist on being this gender. Totally inconsistent. Here's some news from Fox. So I guess we're in New York City. There's a brand new series. This should be awesome. I wonder if Ken Ham is going to be the producer of The Faithful, which reimagines Genesis through the lives of Sarah, Hagar, and more with a star-studded cast. It debuts in 2026, continuing in two-hour installment. It's going to be two-hour installments with a culmination of the finale on April 5th, Easter Sunday. Huh. So the Festival of First Fruits? Is that what they're... I don't quite... understand. Episodes will air on Fox. They're going to be streaming on Hulu and all that jazz. Speaking of which, we are too. I don't think, maybe we're there already and I'm not supposed to tell you, but the Hulu and the Roku and the Amazon Fire and all that stuff. I wish I understood this. I'm so sorry. I'm a techno nincompoop. I think you can have our app on your TV now and just watch all of our stuff, which, by the way, all free. The count, Jimmy, we haven't been mentioning the sale that's coming up and the store closing.
Yeah, that's in
days away from now.
Oh, that's a.
So here's what's good. Here's what I got this.
I just couldn't believe we're almost to August 1st.
I'm telling you, sorry, John MacArthur, his death did that to me. Wait, what? John MacArthur died. Wait, what? No. He's on in our kitchen. He's alive and he's young and it's all good. Well, he's dead. And it reminds us all that life is indeed a vapor. It's a mist. And I'm telling you, it be wise, young person. Be wise. You're not going to escape it. I know you don't feel it, that the end is coming, but it is. And you really should live in light of that. So So Fox is going to be airing it on the Hulu and everything else, just like we are at Fortis Institute, but I'm not supposed to tell you, so don't think that I'm... Jimmy, I think that this is going to be a wonderful addition to all of the made-up fantasy stories about Jesus and David, which apparently just got approved, green-lighted, for a second season. Mm. I know they're all thrilled to have some Hollywood writers put words in their mouth. Wouldn't we all be thrilled with that? And so what if some people get confused? Some people might end up reading their Bibles a little bit more. So don't you worry. The addition of the faithful, was that a little too snarky?
No.
Like, even for me, that might have been. Don't you worry. It's going to be a series that's going to make Ken Ham and his head explode. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.